prayer for these two prayer requests here. Father God, we come to you tonight with these prayer requests. We want to lift up the family of Jerry's cousin. We want to lift up Jerry and Pat Dorman and on the death of her brother. And God, we have just been studying how you are there in our time of grief and sadness. And so now, Lord, we believe that you are going to be with this family, and we rejoice with the fact that this man made his relationship with you strong recently, and that now he is able to even be there with you in heaven. We pray for Laverne's sister-in-law, Barbara. We pray, Father God, that her brain tissue is healed, the vessels are healed, the arteries are healed. Father God, medicine can only go so far, and they've even said things about the limitation of their ability to make this thing right. But you, God, are the creator that made the brain and the vessels and the arteries to begin with. And you are the one that can recreate all of that in her head. And we pray now for her, Father God. We lift her up, and all of us who are listening are in agreement, Father God, that your healing power can touch her and will touch her. And you, God, are the answer. And we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our requests to you and leave them and know that we have left them in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know that we do have a God we can take things to? Pastor.
I want to add a testimony to that prayer.
Yes.
Of course, he's the one that saved my life. My cousin Jody that died, he's the one who saved my life when I got my hand cut off.
I remember that story. Yes.
And anyway, well, up until then, and a couple of more years, we were running pretty much the same direction. And then he veered off somewhere and was out there for years and years and years and had problems after problems after problems. Up until just recently, he had always said, and I mean, this is what he would always, he said, there's no hereafter. When you're dead, you're dead. You're put in the ground, that's the end of it. But something changed his mind.
Amen.
But and we know it was the Holy Spirit working with him, yeah.
Yes. Yes, praise God. What a testimony. What a wonderful testimony to know that. Miss Sherry's taking pictures. That's a wonderful testimony, and that's something to praise God about. That's the most important. Healing's important. Prosperity's important. All the gifts God gives us is important. But knowing that someone has made their relationship with God is the most wonderful testimony that there is.
Amen.
The most wonderful testimony that there is. And tonight, we're going to continue talking about praise.
Amen.
I'm going to read from Isaiah 61. Is anybody just sick and tired of hearing Isaiah 61?
No.
We should never get sick and tired of the Word of God. Never. If you can't hear the same thing from God over and over and still feel something and learn something, then you're reading words. And it's like me. There are books I have read over and over. I'm an avid reader, for those who don't know. And there are a few books I'll read over and over, but rarely do I read a book twice. Rarely. Just a very few. And the Word of God's not like that. It is absolutely not like that. You can read and something will come up in you one day. And you can read the same thing and something else will come up in you one day. That's because the Word of God are not words on a piece of paper that's printed like a book. And number two, they're not man's ideals like books. This is Spirit-inspired Word of God. It is living. It is breathing. It is for us. We get tired of the Word of God. You might as well get tired of your spouse or your kids or your grandkids or any other relationship you have if you cannot be in the Word of God and not feel something. Because this relationship with the Word, and we know that Jesus is the Word made flesh, that relationship with the Word should be the most vital relationship we have in our lives. So we're going to read from Isaiah 61, starting at verse 2. And he's talking that the Spirit of the Lord God had come upon me, being Jesus, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Every time I read that, I say, that's 2020. Don't care what the news says. Don't care what we hear. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And that's not vengeance on people. It's vengeance on Satan and his tools against God's children. And to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we're going to talk tonight about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I want to start by pointing out in verse 3 toward the end, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the, T-H-E, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The, that little three-letter article, makes it a little bit different than saying he has given us a garment of praise. We all have garments on tonight, right? But none of us have the same garment on. We have the garment that we put on ourselves. You know, a garment can be any garment anywhere, and there can be many of them. But in here, he's saying the garment. The garment. He has in his mind what that one the is. It's the garment. And we're going to learn more about this garment that God has given us. It is just not anything just picked up. It is the garment of praise. Hi there. How are you?
Hi.
Victoria's with us.
I'm blessed, and you?
Well, good. We're blessed to have you here, Victoria. We really are.
Well, thank you.
And he's saying that with this, the garment, because we can put on a garment. I have clothes on now, but I could pick up, say, a house coat and put it over top of what I'm wearing. And what I'm wearing is still underneath that robe, right? So I'm covering up what I have on. Not the garment of praise that God gives us. It does not cover up heaviness. Now think about it. It does not cover up heaviness. It's not to cover up the heaviness in our life. It is to remove it from our spirit man. It is not put on us to cover up the heaviness and then the heaviness be underneath and we're carrying it all around with us, being all weighted down like it talks about in Hebrews when we run the race and we have all these weights on us. You want to run the race, the thing we need to do is throw off And that's what it says in Hebrews. Throw off any obstacles that ensnare us, any weights that have us. Put on the garment of praise, which does not cover up heaviness, but removes it and replaces the heaviness in our life. He does not leave us out there naked. All right, we've thrown off our heaviness, and now we're naked, and we're vulnerable, and we're exposed to Satan and his darts. Absolutely not. We are covered with a garment of praise. And we're going to learn that that garment of praise is not just not a garment. It is a weapon, not a carnal weapon. Weapon against Satan, this garment of praise that we have. Now, this teaching, when I was going over my notes, of course, Satan wants to talk to your mind. And I am teaching, for those who don't know, in the presence of our praise and worship leader. And the love she has for praise and the way that she ushers in praise and worship into our church. No one knows more about praise than Miss LaVarne. Here I have been called to teach it. And I am going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And she can add on, and Pastor can add on, and any of you all can add on. But this is what the Holy Spirit has shown me. This garment of praise is a weapon. And we're going to talk about how it is a weapon as we learn. Do you know that this is the garment, the only garment, that will push away your spirit of heaviness? I can't get rid of it, Miss Martha. I have tried. I just feel so oppressed. There is so much going on. There is so much unhappiness. Everybody is sick. Everybody I meet is sad. Everybody's in financial trouble. I don't talk to anyone anymore that I don't hear about illness or this or that or the other. You ever have days like that? You ever have days where you want to avoid people in the grocery store? And I don't mean that in a negative way. Just because you've already got this heaping of heaviness, and be careful, do not take anybody's heaviness upon you. Bear one another's burden does not mean you take it on you. God will tell you how to pray, what to do, but you don't take it on you and carry it around with you. The same way we don't need to take on the spirit of heaviness that's in America right now politically, or the spirit of heaviness that's there because of the interpersonal relationships with people nowadays, or the fact that quote unquote COVID's resurging. None of that do we take on ourselves. Why not? You mean we're not even supposed to be concerned? Yeah, use your wisdom. But you pray. You take it to God. And when he tells you to move, you move your feet and you go forward. But you don't take it on. It does not need to become a part of your spirit man. And Satan would want nothing right now other than to squash all of us with this huge, huge spirit or cloud of heaviness. So if you are not careful, it won't take you very long once you open your eyes that you won't come into something that could possibly make your day full of heaviness instead of full of praise. And the way that we, because we're flesh, and our flesh soaks up flesh. But it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's where we have to keep it spiritual. So we then put on the garment of praise onto our spirit man, and it will push. Can you see that garment of praise blocking and pushing away that spirit of heaviness? We're talking spirit of heaviness versus spirit of praise. Now, when I say spirit of praise or the Holy Spirit of God or any of the fruitful gifts of the Spirit, I capitalize that spirit, just like I capitalize God, holy God. But if it says, you know, this country believes in the God Buddha, G-O-D is little G-O-D to me. And it's the same way with the spirit. So this spirit of heaviness, folks, is a little S, spirit of heaviness. The spirit of praise that we get from God is a big S, you know, Superman style. And that's the way you have to see it. Yeah, Satan has his little spirits here. The spirit of heaviness, the spirit of unworthiness, the spirit of fear. All those little spirits. But we have so much more and something so much stronger. So be sure you capitalize God's spirit stuff with a big S and remind yourself that's the supernatural power of God that we have as Christians that we can call on. You know, a garment is merely defined in Webster's very simply as a piece of clothing to cover yourself. Now, the garment of praise, like I said, is a spiritual garment, is the spiritual garment that you put on to cover your spirit, man. It's worn on the inside, not on the outside. And do you know that the garment of praise was designed by the creator of you? He is the great designer. He is our great creator. You know, here we got the great creator. And I see him taking that dirt in his hands. And he's touching every inch of that dirt as he's forming Adam. Can you see it? He's rubbing every inch of that body. He knows every inch of our body. He knows every inch of our spirit, man. So when he gives us the garment of praise, guess what, folks? I'm not going to be wearing Saul's armor that don't fit. The garment of praise that God made for me fits me perfectly. The garment of praise he designed for each one of you fits each one of you all perfectly. He takes the time to know us and give us the garment of praise that is perfection. In the Spirit-filled Bible, in Psalms 100, it talks about the word praise, and I'm not going to go into it all, but it can be a verb. And that verb is H-A-L-A-L. And it means to actively, verb, action. Miss Laverne was also my daughter's teacher in elementary school. She knows about verbs and nouns, and Pastor's excellent with all the English grammar and stuff, so they can correct me if I have forgotten something over all these years. But a verb is an action word, right? That means you don't sit. It means you actively praise. You actively celebrate. You actively, and the word here is L-A-U-D, laud, but it's to heap on praises to something that is worthy. Now, if anybody can come up with anything more worthy than God, feel free to share it with us. If there's something out there we need to honor more than God, let me know. Correct me. There is nothing, Miss Phyllis. You're absolutely right. And it says here we are to actively praise, celebrate, and laud over him. That means we have to do something. We have to do something. It's also a noun. And the word there is T-E-H-I-L-L-I-M, Tehillim. And the word simply means praise. So after we actively let words come out of our mouths or actions come out of our mouths and we're actually doing what goes up to God, that those actual aromas and words that get to God is praise. So it's called praise. So it can be a verb or it can be a noun. And it's used in different things. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. The word praise itself, after coming through Hebrew and Greek and being translated, the one we use in our dictionary, praise, comes from the old French.
Did it really come out, then?
Pardon?
Why didn't you think of that before?
I can't understand. Oh, okay. Comes from the old French for to value or to prize. Again, is there anything in your life, and I mean anything, I'm talking spouse, children, grandchildren, is there anything in your life that you value more higher than God? The answer better be no. It better be no. Do I say disregard your family? Absolutely not. I'm just saying keep God in his place. You keep God in his place, your family's going to line up. Your life's going to line up. Things are going to start lining up. But God has to be the one that you value and prize the most in your life over everything, even your own life. Because when we get saved, the life that we now live, it's not ours anymore. It's God's. And we give it to him. And what he wants for our life should become more important than what we want for our life. Sometimes the two things will meet. What we want, what he wants meets. And boy, is that wonderful. But sometimes we want something and God says, no child. No child. Or he wants us to do something, or he wants something for us, but we have to do an action. And we say, not me, God, not me, God. And of course, Satan will tell you why it can't be you. And it takes a while sometimes for those to get together. But really, our life is his. He sent his blessed son to die for us so that we can have a relationship with him. And we're not willing to give our life to him. We're not willing to turn our family over to him. We're not willing to give our bank accounts to him. We're not willing... We should be willing to give everything to him. Oh, you mean God doesn't want us to have anything here on earth? That's not what I said. What we have should be given to him. For him to use as he sees fit. For him to bless. For him to say, yes, this is yours, but this is what I want. And sometimes it's hard for people to let go, especially money, folks. And family, and some other things, it's hard for us to say, here it is, God, you do with it what it is. And then trust, we're going to get such a better return if we just learn to value and prize him. I mean, that's probably one big secret. Just learn to value and prize and fall in love with God. And send praises to him. He deserves our praise. Whether we wake up to the worst world we have ever lived in, we need to praise him for one reason. He is God, period. Yes, Linda.
The New Living Translation says Festus praise.
Festive praise. Miss Linda was saying her translation says festive praise. That's mm-hmm. excitement. That's joy. Festive praise. That's good. That's good. It also went into Latin. You know, all these words traveled different places. And in Latin, it meant price. Who paid our price? The Lord Jesus Christ. It means worth. It means reward. That's what praise means. In the Middle English, it means glorify and celebrate. There always seems to be a celebration with praise. A celebration. And in Webster's, it means commendation. They use fancy words in Webster. Commendation, favorable representation in words. It also means worship. Devotion, ardent love of a person to honor and adore. Oh my goodness, I can't think of anybody more fitting than God than to get our favored words. God, you are holy. God, you are sovereign. He needs to get our words of favor. He needs to hear them. Why? Because God needs something? No, because it builds us up and it keeps us in mind of who God really is. And then worship. You know, worshiping God is like going on a date with the love of your life. And the interaction that you have back and forth when you give him everything you have in worship and in praise. And to be devoted. God's devoted to us. We need to be devoted to him. And the ardent love of a person. He cannot show any more ardent love than he has already showed to us. Ardent love means everything. The strongest type of love that there can be. And there is nothing on earth as strong as the agape love. Pastor did, you know, a teaching on the different types of love. And we don't have anything on earth equal to the love of God. There is agape love, but that's more of a spiritual love. You have to get really spiritually connected in order to show true spiritual God agape love. And to honor and adore. A definition now, so you got this picture of praise in your head? Okay, now we're going to talk about the definition of garment. In the Middle English, it meant to garnish or decorate. It meant to adorn. And you know another word it meant? And I was so excited to see this word because I had already studied and saw the garment of praise pushing away the heaviness, almost like armor on our spirit man. And in the Middle English, garment used to mean fortify. And when you fortify something, it's like a fort. You build stuff around it to protect and to keep bad things out from getting in. That's to fortify something. We now have like fortified cereal and milk so that we can get vitamins and stuff in us to help our physical bodies. But it was the word fortified, and then it goes from Middle English and it becomes a single item of clothing. Do you see how some of the strength of the word garment diminished over the years? I mean, they dropped garnish, adore, and fortify, and it is now a single item of clothing. Well, we're not talking about a single item of clothing, and that means you can have a shirt, and you can have pants, or you can have a skirt, and all of those are garments. We have the garment. That's our single item. The garment. And then let's just, I know y'all know what heaviness is, but I just want to kind of give a little definition. It's the state of being heavy, weight, or weightiness, force of a negative impact. The force of a negative impact. We don't have to look. Thank God here in this church and pastoring them at home in Victoria. But we don't have to look too far to find the force of a negative impact on this world. Once we leave these doors. Turn on your radio or get home and happen to turn on the TV. Oppression. feeling dejected, sadness, low spirits, even defining it if you're not careful. So why did you define it, Miss Martha? Because I want you to see what the garment of praise, now think about those definitions, for the spirit of heaviness. He will take all this negative that I just defined. He will take it away and give us the garment of praise. Now, I want to ask you all something. Who gets the better deal? How many of you all, even if you're gamblers, I mean, that's something else. Do you want, let's make a deal sort of thing here. You want box number one or box number two or curtain number three or whatever. Oh, and here you've got heaviness. Do you want to switch it over here? And I won't even hide what's behind curtain number three. Behind curtain number three, we have the garment of praise. Do you want to take curtain number three or you want to keep your box of heaviness? Right? Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, we're getting a great deal. God is offering us a great deal. So why are there so many people, including Christians, walking around with heaviness upon them? Have they really got a hold of what God has done for us and what the garment of praise does for us and what he wants to give us? Miss Phyllis said, Miss Martha, where is this taught?
Yeah. Most churches don't teach it.
Thank God for our church.
Amen.
I'm telling you what. Thank God. I wasn't going to say this till later, but I'm going to go ahead so I don't forget it, but I'll say it later. If anyone has not listened to Sister Shirley's message of June the 21st, you all need to listen to it. However you do that, find it. She basically did a much better job than I had. I'm not even going to finish up what I was going to do. She did such a great job, and I will tell you all at the end of this part of the study to go back, if you haven't heard it, and listen to June 21st sermon, when she talks about righteousness. And, I mean, that's just where we are. We just have word upon words come out, and we are so taught, and we are so extremely blessed, and we need to thank God for that. I thank you, God, we have pastors that are willing to teach the true word, and they don't water it down, and they tell us exactly the way things are. And, you know, we need to thank God for that, because you're right, Miss Phyllis. But I do. I thank God all the time for our pastors. So here we have this deal. I think most of us who are listening right now know which way we're going to choose, or we have already chosen. So I want to go back and just kind of reminisce about some of the things I've taught. You remember when I taught on sackcloth? Made out of goat's hair. Black. Rough. Unattractive. When you think of sackcloth, don't you see like a garment that's got maybe a tie around here and then it just hangs like a robe or something, like a sack? Well, see what I see. This is what Martha sees in her spirit, man, when I was praying over this. The garment of praise is made out of all the bright colors that God has ever created in nature. It is colorful. It is bright. I'm going to use your word festive. It is festive. It wants you to have a celebration. It's a beautiful garment. Miss Phil says it's shiny. That's good because we are lights to the world. You're right there. Yes. And you know what? That shiny light. Oh, that's good. That's not even in my notes. Thank you, God. See, that's what makes good Bible studies, when God gives all these little tidbits. Yeah, it's shiny because we need the light of the shininess of God's word to push away the heaviness. Mm-hmm. We don't need that black gloom and doom cloud. We need bright colors and shininess and celebration. Why would heaviness want to stick around a bunch of us together, united, with our garments of praise on? How could it even stand it? And, you know, I think that garment of praise, it represents in me a spirit of thankfulness instead of that sorrow and grief and depression that we've been talking about when we were sitting in the ashes. I mean, that's what it should bring up in us when we put it on. That overwhelming spirit of thankfulness. And, you know, just think about how color and how we use color in our world, and it brightens the mood, or it gives where we're at, like a birthday party, let's say, especially for our children. And we have balloons of different colors, and our cake is nice and bright. I know sometimes when people turn 40, they'll put the black icing on the cake and stuff like that. But all in all, cakes are colorful. They have candles of different colors. And you go into a room and there's streamers. And can't you tell something good's going on in there? Can't you tell that? Well, see, that's the way our garments should be. It should tell outward. Something good is going on with me. And that goodness is God. Something good is going on with me. And that goodness is God. I want to go to Psalms 45. I was there earlier in a different part of this Bible study. And of course, it's entitled The Glories of the Messiah and His Bride. Now, I don't know if you all know it or not. I've talked to different people who've been in art. White and black are colors also. But when you see someone covered in white versus someone that's covered in black, which one do you see as the more festive one, or even a celebration of a type? Very rarely do we see brides that wear black, or even the browns or whatever. It's usually, if you know, maybe second marriages and things like that, or older people, they'll wear a nice looking suit, but it's usually of color. But most brides wear white. And I wonder where that came from. Well, it came from Queen Victoria. I will tell you that. She started the white wedding dress. That's just interest for those. I like to read. I like history. Before that, they wore their blacks and their dark, muted colors. And, you know, not Queen Victoria. She loved her Prince Albert, and she wore a white dress. And after that, boy, did the Victorian era start bringing in white dresses. And it's been here ever since. But white is even a color of celebration. But it almost gives a more important tone to it versus things that are black. I want to read from verses 7 and 8 in Psalms 45. And there's, well, let's start with verse 6 so that you know who he's talking to, who the psalmist is talking to. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. You can acknowledge that. That's another reason to praise God. I praise you, God, because your throne is forever and ever. Anytime you come across little things like this, why should we praise God? Man, if we did that every day and we got together, we'd have a whole notebook full. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions, and all your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces, ivory, like that white, by which they have made you glad. So here, not only does he give us the garment of praise, he also anoints it with the oil that we talked about, so that it has a sweet aroma coming from our spirit, man, when we send our praises up to God. So we have the garment of praise that's been anointed with the oil of gladness that we just talked about. Oh my goodness. This garment's getting wonderful, folks. It is. It's getting exciting. And he made it for us in order to get through the world that he knew was going to be full of heaviness. He knew we needed it. He planned it for us. I also want to read in Psalms 45, verses 13 through 15. I love this chapter. I'm going to go back and study Psalms 45. Starting at verse 13. The royal daughter. And why don't y'all think of yourselves as royal daughters? Can't we? That includes Pastor, too, by the way. When God calls us sons, it's sons. When he calls us daughters, it's daughters. Pastor is the bride of Christ, just like us women are the bride of Christ. In those type of wordings and things like that, God does not see gender. Now, are there gender-related things to us? Absolutely, and you will know what those are because he talks about a man and a husband and a wife and that. But when he's talking about the spiritual things, there is no gender in heaven. And therefore, he sees our spirit man. So, yes, Pastor, you're the bride of Christ, just like the women that are here. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace, and her clothing is woven with gold. That means precious. She shall be brought to the king, and for those who have the Spirit-filled Bible, king there is capitalized, which means who? Jesus Christ. We don't have any other capital kings. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. This is when I got that vision of all these colors in this robe, and is when I was studying here. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought and they shall enter the king's palace. We daughters who are going into the king need to go in with gladness and rejoicing. Does that not sound a whole lot like praise? So we go in with these garments with woven with gold and all these different colors, the garment of praise, and we go into the palace of the king, which is like the heavenly sanctuary. And, well, Martha, I can't get to heaven right now. I can't get into that actual physical palace. We're talking spirit man here. Do you know what happens on Sunday mornings? when Miss Laverne gets up there and she starts leading us into praise and worship, do you know what starts happening? We're going into the palace, folks. We're going in to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are going to have on our colorful garments woven with gold. And it's going to be scented with the aroma of the oil of gladness. And we're going to go in with praise. See it this week. When we go into worship this week, see us walking into the palace of the King of Kings as a glorious daughter, not someone who has walked all week among heaviness. I'm sorry, Pastor. Am I getting too loud? Too bold? Isn't that the way we need to go in? Laverne starts out. I'm sure she's prayed up. She gets up early. She gets going. She gets in the Word. She asks God, what songs do you want me to sing? He, Holy Spirit, unctions her. She jumps right in. The rest of us, oh gosh, what a week we've had. Whew. It was even hard to get to church this morning. Yeah, the kids were arguing. I couldn't find the shoes that went with this. Yeah, everybody's rushing around. Didn't get breakfast. First praise and worship song goes through. Thank you, God. I worship you. Okay, that's fine. You got to get yourself up in there. You go. But guess what you're missing? You're missing the wonderful praise of going into his palace with gladness and rejoicing right at that minute. You sit through two songs trying to throw off your heaviness. Boy, look what you've missed. Look at the time you could have spent with God in his palace. We need to walk in this church, however we need to do it, knowing that we have the garment of praise on. We don't have to work up anything. All we have to do is get in our head that our spirit man is covered with the garment of praise. It will push away any heaviness. We don't have to work at it. We walk in seeing ourselves dressed as a glorious daughter of God in the garment of praise that I just described. Now, how can you feel heavy or weighted with that? And so when Miss Shirley gets up here and says, good morning. Yes, it's a good morning. I'm here to praise God. I mean, the first word out of her mouth. We should be excited. He has given us the tool. Miss Martha, I can't make it to church. There are people who cannot make it to church. There are homebound people who cannot make it to church. You can make it to the palace of the risen King wherever you are. You have the garment of praise on you wherever you are. Corporate worship is wonderful, but there are praise and worship music on the radio and praise and worship programs on TV, and you can even build yourself up in your most holy faith. You can go into the palace of the risen King as the glorious daughter, and you don't ever have to leave your hospital bed, nursing home, or homebound status at home. You don't have to do it. God meets you there. All you'd have to do is walk into his palace wearing your garment of praise. And he is there. And even though you're not in our midst, you are part of the Christian community. And while we're here worshiping and praising, you can be there worshiping and praising. And we're doing it together because we're not doing it in the flesh. We're doing it in the spirit. And the Spirit has no bounds. It has no walls. It has no miles. We can be worshiping God the same time somebody in China is worshiping God. That praise goes up and forward. And it doesn't matter which country we're in or which city we're in or what state our physical body is in. We have the tool to bring forth the garment of praise and go into the king's palace. But you know, when we have on the garment of praise, there's a few things he's going to ask of us. You know, the first one is, like I said, we have to choose we want the garment of praise put on. And we have to choose we aren't going to let this heaviness cover up our garment of praise or keep the heaviness and cover it up with the garment of praise. The other thing is we have to open our mouths. That's the part of praise. Well, God, Miss Martha, I know somebody who's mute. I know somebody who can't speak. I know someone who's had a stroke and they cannot speak. I'm not talking physical mouth. If you have a physical mouth, open it.
Miss Martha?
Yes, Miss LaVarne, yes.
I was going to say, I don't know, years ago when we first started learning and hearing teachings and different ones minister, I can't remember who it was said it or I read it. But this guy, this evangelist, it might have been Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know, but he said we ought to be, the church ought to be so ready for praise and worship that we should come through the door with our arms in the air, ready to go.
Amen.
And you know, a lot of people think that it's our job as a praise and worship team to get you going. It's not.
No.
See?
No.
And you know, the word and the music itself.
Oh, come on back on. I want to hear. I come
with
against
duration,
you.
See, I say this all the time. When we get into a song, if we'll use your imagination, like a couple times I've had Danny open the back door and we'd sing that song, I speak Jesus in the mountain. And You use your imagination to see that word going out and that praise going out the door, see?
Yes.
Then that's all, that you're using all of yourself for praise and worship. And don't come with the idea, well, I hope they get me in the spirit this morning. That's not my job.
No, it's not. No. In fact, what I saw when I was reading this, when it said the royal daughter in all gloriness within the palace, and she shall be brought to the king, and the virgins, which are her companions, follow her, shall be brought to you. It's like you are the glorious daughter brought into the king, and we are the virgins that follow behind her. She's just leading us into the palace. But they get themselves ready. They put on their own garments. They're ready to follow her. She doesn't have to turn around and wait for them. If she did, because she's the glorious daughter, and these are her companions, like bridesmaids and stuff. They're ready. They are at the ready. And they follow her in. And that's what Miss LaVarne is. She is the daughter that goes into the king's palace. And we follow her in. And we're ready. We're not late, we're not behind, we're not stumbling. We're going in with her. It says that they are going in with her. They're following her. And they shall be brought to you, capital Y, meaning God, with gladness and rejoicing shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. They shall enter with rejoicing. That's what LaVarne does. She brings us in. She's the glorious daughter that leads us in because that's her calling that God gave her. And we follow in, and we're at the ready. She don't have to do anything for us. She's just merely leading us in. And so we have to open our mouths. And this is what I want to stress. If there's anybody out there that has had a stroke or they're mute or whatever, if you have a physical mouth, give it to God and thank God you can. Because there are people who've had strokes who want to talk so bad and they can't express themselves to people. But it does not mean they're stupid and they don't know what's going on. Their brain is still there. And if you take the time, you can learn to communicate with them. But their spirit man has a mouth. I have seen the fire in some of these people's eyes that were in the nursing home. When you start talking about God, their little light eyes light up, and you can tell they're wanting to pray and they're wanting to give testimonies. And that spirit man goes up to God, and he understands every word that they're saying. So, yes, if you have a physical mouth, use it. If you don't, for some reason, have a physical voice, use your spirit man. Let that mouth go forward, but get your words up to God. The other thing you need to do is you need to speak forth words of praise to God for his love and mercy, not for what he did that week for you. Now, yes, we need to thank him, but when we praise him, we need to thank him that he is on the throne forever and ever. We need to thank him for his love and mercy. We need to thank him for his kindness. We need to thank him for his sovereignty. We need to thank him for his son. I could go on and on and on and on and on about what we need to thank God for. And it doesn't ever turn back to us. Now, after we do that, we can thank God. Thank you, God, for what you have done for me. But praise and worship doesn't focus on us. It focuses on God. And that's where it should be. But you know, I'm just going to be honest here. I thought about not saying it, but I'm going to. And then we're going to end here. Before we can get to that point where we can walk in here, like Miss Laverne said, our hands up, our garments of praise on, we're already got an attitude of praise and worship. And we're going to talk about private praise during the week when we're not in church or we're not anywhere. There's a private praise that we need to be active with. We must give our ashes, our messy lives, our broken hearts, our fears, our grief, our despair. We have to give it all to him and don't hold on to nothing. We must stop struggling and fighting in our own flesh. I'm here to tell you, you all won't be able to fix it. You know, he walks each and every step with us. Why wouldn't we just turn to him and say, oh God, here's something I don't know what to do with. Why do we keep trying to fix stuff? He will tell us how to fix things on earth, use our hands and all that. But why do we struggle trying to figure it out? And we've never one time said, have you thought about, have you listened to somebody for hours and hours and hours and you've given them all this advice? I have to be careful with this because my nursing sometimes rises up. And I'll say, you need to go to the doctor. You need to try that. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. But you know, I need to also include in there, can I pray with you? Or have you had anybody to pray with you over this? Point them to God. Point yourself to God. We need to show our gratitude to him for not for what he does for us, but because of who he is. We need to praise God through anything that we're walking through. And I mean anything. Now, pastors can correct me. There might be something out there that's so awful and so bad we don't need to praise God. I would dread being in that situation. Now, that's the time I would start praising God. You know, I read an article somewhere, kind of like Laverne. I know I read it. In fact, I wrote it down in one of my other Bibles, so I must have heard it somewhere and wrote it down real quick. And it said that praise is the voice of faith. Praise is the voice of faith. That means that we're praising with faith for who God is, irregardless of what our eyes see and our ears hear and what we read and what we see on TV and what people tell us. In spite of that, we praise. We praise through faith. we praise with faith.
Miss Martha?
Yes, Miss Laverne, yes.
I just wanted to add one thing. There's been times that, to me, I feel it so deeply that I have to be in tune with the Lord, that I can't have anything between me and God or anybody else when I go in. Not that I'm perfect or a saint, but I very much respect the anointing of God.
Absolutely.
And I can remember one time at church when Scott and Mary were kids, and I had some kind of a little fuss with Scott or something, and we didn't get it settled. And I can remember I was playing the piano at the time at church, and we were getting ready to have praise and worship, and I had to get up off of the piano, go back down the back sanctuary where he was sitting, and say, "Son, I want you to forgive me. It was Mom missed it this morning, and I want you to forgive me." And of course, he was so embarrassed. He said, "Sure, sure, sure," but that left me, and then I could go back up there and do praise and worship.
That's right. That's right. So if we come in with anything, we need to take care of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We do. And it may be that you need to stay out in the parking lot a few minutes.
Yeah.
And you and, I mean, I've done it. I'll be honest. I've done it. God, this has been one morning. But I don't want to miss a minute with you.
Amen.
I don't want to miss a minute with you. And like Miss Laverne said, take care of it. And if you come in with it, you have to leave and take care of it. Leave and take care of it.
Right.
But don't let things interfere with the praise that you have with God. And we're going to continue in this about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I know for one more week. We'll see where God goes with it. I'm excited about this. Can't y'all tell? Can y'all tell? I'm excited about praising God. I'm excited that we can still praise God.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the truth, Miss Phyllis?
Yes.
That we can, well, I mean, we can praise God whether the guns are here, whether they shut down the churches or whatever.
But can Miss Sherry, Miss Martha, can Miss Sherry hear me? I got a song.
Miss Sherry, she's got
y'all
a song.
Y'all want a song?
Yes.
You know, put on the garment of praise, praise oh, the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your heart to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
That is a good song. That is a good song. Maybe Miss Laverne will sing it sometime on Sunday. That is a good song. Absolutely a great one. But I want to thank you all again for listening to me and being patient with me as the Holy Spirit tries to use me, and it's just my desire to do it right for the Lord.
Well, I want to thank you
and
for obeying the Lord.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Victoria.
Bye,
everybody.
She's gone. Yeah. Bye, Victoria. We love you.
Oh.